Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There we go. How about this start, man? Sean Bajani, B. Scott in for Landry Locker and John Lopez. You're in the loop, baby.
Yes, sir.
It's good to be here with you, B.
Yeah.
I think you and I went, good 6 months, I feel like, without doing shows together. And
we
now
did.
We've got a handful together in the last couple of weeks.
Damn, it been that long?
It's been a little bit.
Time, I was going to say time flies, though, man. Time does fly. You know, Bajani got his own show now, man. So he's night owl. You know what I'm saying? I'm here during the day. So
I'm a night owl.
It's a little different.
I was rolling out of bed this morning thinking like, yeah, I'm going to cruise in here. It's going to be good. Landry's got this thing.
Yep.
And then you text me, you're like, hey, you got a rundown going? I said, what?
Trying to figure out, is Landry in the lab or do we need to go get in the lab right now?
Landry took his ass out of the loop at some point in time over the course of the last 24 hours. So enter Bajani and B. Scott. It's all good. We're here, and we've got a lot of stuff to get to, and we want you to be a part of the show. 713-572-4610, 572-4610, call, text. Hit us up, Twitch, YouTube. I don't know if you can see my face. I'll move around the table here eventually.
Oh, yeah, you're in the Lopez spot. I got a camera in there.
We looking right at you,
just
man.
Just for Lopez.
All right, cool.
I got to get Figgy's camera going, though.
Okay.
That's the one.
The producer cam is still not going.
Oh, I got a fix for that I'll do in the break.
It's all good.
We'll get Figgy up for y'all in the break.
Okay.
I got entertaining you, radio the other day when I was in with Clint. For some reason, Tyler felt the need to wax his chest and show
man.
His nipples.
That's
and
their thing, man.
He couldn't do it with the producer cam, you know, on the fritz. So I told him to come on in here. And he got right behind Clint and showed us the Manscaped.
That is the only downside of me figuring out a workaround for our producer cam going out. And just a little inside baseball, y'all. Our producer camera has gone out, so I've had to figure out a workaround for it. The downside of that yesterday, figuring out that workaround was immediate. I'm talking about immediately.
Uh-huh.
So I figured it out during a break, during the drive yesterday. As soon as they come back, the first thing that they do is show us Tyler's nipples. I was like, yo, this is just for continuity of the show, consistency of our look on YouTube and everything like that. We want to have that producer cam at least available to the producer. First thing they do with it. Show us Tyler's nipples.
Yeah,
I'm like,
fantastic.
Man, you can you and imagine the frustration. You working so damn hard to get this camera going, figure out a workaround for why this camera doesn't work and what we can do.
Really brings meaning to your job, doesn't
it? Yeah, and it's like the fruits of my labor is we get to get this dude's nipples in the camera. It was but very
then,
strange.
You know, you could also look at it this way. Like, this is fun. It's not too serious.
Yeah.
We keep it light around here.
Yeah, it is cool if you can call that work.
Yeah, it's cool if you can call it work. What was a
task or a job for me to do today? Figure out a way to get a visual on Tyler's chest.
Stat! Get on that!
Kind of wild.
The sense of urgency you feel. Urgency, I think, is the proper way to determine like my emotion right now for tonight. Cougars.
Yeah.
Longwood.
Yeah, so
I don't care who they play, man. It's the freaking tournament. We already saw a 14-3 upset. I think
that was Kentucky, by the way.
Yeah, that was. We'll get more on that later.
Yeah.
That was bad. I was hoping for the 15-2 upset, which I did not get by 21 points by way of Long Beach State trying to pull off yet another miracle. Couldn't knock off Arizona yesterday.
Yeah, it looked like beginning. In the beginning, it looked like they had a shot.
Oh, well, you know, that's college basketball. Yeah. You know, the first few minutes, you never know how it's going to go, but you can bet that there's probably going to be a semblance of a game come tournament time with these 215s or even a 116 occasionally. Yeah. I just wanted the fired coach to get rehired at some point during this tournament.
Yeah, for him to earn it back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and for me, it was watching Texas and Colorado State. And early in that game, Colorado State's up like, I can't remember if it was 8-2 or something like that, but they were up.
I was having good vibes, man.
And then these cats went like 13 minutes or something ridiculous like that without scoring a field goal.
But they almost got back into it with like 7 or 8 minutes to go in the second half. They pulled within like 7 or 8.
I don't give a damn. They were an embarrassment to competition worldwide. These cats had 11 points at halftime. I thought, man, look, the cable providers, the networks, anybody that spent money on going to the game, TJ Ford, everybody, like anybody with a connection to the game should have asked for a refund and or apology.
Yeah.
It was an embarrassment.
I'm just hoping that Landry was squirming at least a little bit the final 6-7 minutes of the ball game last
Landry
night.
Doesn't like basketball. Can we say that Landry's not here? Can we admit that? I don't know if that's going to be – maybe that can be a confession later.
He doesn't like basketball.
Landry doesn't like basketball. He craps on the tournament. His NBA takes are Adam Silver sucks. Landry doesn't like basketball. Landry, for as tall as he is and as much basketball as he's played in his life, does not like basketball
That's
anymore.
That's so weird.
He
is a weird cat.
Did I say anything wrong other than my take there? He does not. He's not into the tournament, not into the NBA. I don't know where his basketball.
I think he fell out of love with basketball, man.
I think he fell out of love
That's
with basketball.
That's so weird.
Definitely doesn't like women's basketball.
You know, I know a lot of people that basketball in general, they've just been turned off by.
Yeah. I could never hate basketball.
But, yeah, I mean, we all grew up playing it at some point in time. Yeah. It's just, but it goes deeper than that. I mean, if you're a casual to no fan at all, I mean, March Madness is March Madness. It brings people together at work, you know, and includes people on conversations maybe they typically wouldn't be included on because everybody's betting in some form or fashion, whether it be for money or not or bragging rights. You got a bracket going. Nine times out of 10, I think that's fair to assume in any office environment.
Yeah. And I feel like we've also graduated to a point with the tournament specifically in these brackets to where it feels a lot less fake. Figure, you tell me if you agree with this too. Doesn't it, guys, feel like a lot less fake of guys trying to pretend like they watch every waking moment of college basketball? It feels like we've reached a point where we've conceded, hey, most of us don't watch as much college basketball as either we used to or as, you know, it's just not as popular of a sport or a game as it used to be.
Well, you just can't.
So we don't go into it pretending like, hey, we know what Duquesne, we know that Duquesne's going to win, or we know
about Colgate.
I did pick Duquesne.
But you didn't pick them because you had some type of sophisticated scouting report.
Couldn't name one guy on their team. But I tell you what, the Odyssey bracket that we're all in, I'm assuming, did you end up doing it?
I didn't do it.
God bless. I filled out my first bracket for like the first time in 5-6 years.
See, that's probably how long it's been.
You're not in it.
It's probably the last time I did one was maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
It's so friendly because it literally gives you every piece of information you could ever want to know about some middling D1 basketball school.
Get to pretend like you know.
Yeah, I picked that one. And then literally 3 minutes later, my bracket was completely blown up because of Mississippi and Michigan State. And then I was just like, all right, whatever. I'm not looking at this crap again until we get to the Final Four. And just hopefully my Cougs are in it. But
yeah, that is the fun part about it.
I think who made that okay is Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley, because they know absolutely not a damn thing about college basketball.
And we'll tell you as much, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
what's funny is they'd be on the broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing.
They skip out on the NBA and be on the broadcast for the month of March.
But people find this entertaining. Now, I don't watch it. I saw like the quote-unquote highlights of this analysis last night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
where Kenny Smith is talking about the dynamic win over Kentucky. Did he call it? A dynamic loss by Kentucky.
Yep.
Who the hell they'd lose to last night?
Oh, it was
a 14-3.
Yeah, it was not Duquesne. It was
Goodness gracious.
It was the dude that looked like Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, the dude. Right?
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah.
I mean, that's not Wofford. The dude that looked like Gary Kubiak hitting all the threes.
Hold on. I mean, that's who it was. It's in the rundown somewhere. We'll find it.
Oakland. That's not Oakland. In Oakland. That's right.
It's in Detroit, ain't it? Where is Oakland? Because this Oakland is not in Oakland, California, right?
It ain't in Oakland.
Yeah, it's not in Oakland, California.
Because I was rooting on them in the name of Too Short and everybody from the Bay, and then I realized after the game, that's right. They're not, and I think I knew that and just forgot. But after the fact, I'm like, man, Too Short don't have nothing
Kenny
to do
Smith
with this.
Last night was like, dynamic loss by Kentucky. And he's talking it through, kind of like this, saying nothing. And Charles Barkley goes, he said, he's like, that's probably a big loss. And then Barkley was like, probably. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
You think?
But then Barkley acting like he knows a little bit. And it's he didn't know.
And Oakland is in Rochester, by the way.
Yeah. Rochester is in New York?
I'm guessing so, yeah. That's the only Rochester I know.
They need to change the name to Oak Land. It's like separate the oak and the land.
Need the hyphen.
Yeah, they need a hyphen or a space because we are very confused.
The land of oaks.
But look, Charles Barkley later on in the broadcast, or I don't know if this was later or before, but at some point in the night, he mentions when they're talking about Colgate, he just straight up tells you, like he's the rest of us, hey man, I don't know nothing about Colgate, but this, that, and the third. So like he's giving his analysis sort of. I think the difference is Kenny Smith is trying to at least sound like he's got a sophisticated opinion about the college game.
Yeah.
Whereas Charles Barkley is like, look, I'm Charles Barkley and we're here and I don't know nothing about Colgate.
But they've been doing this for how long?
Ooh,
of years?
Oh, yeah, at least 7 years.
I was going to say 7 years. I reference everything to like COVID. You know, everything that I think is like 2 years ago was probably a lot longer than that because time has just been a warp.
Real quick, Oakland is actually in Michigan. Rochester, Michigan. So it is another Rochester.
Hey, is there another Rochester?
That was the only Rochester I know. I guess I know too.
And this
Oakland,
was the only
California.
Oakland. Yeah, I was going to say, we got multiple Oaklands and Rochesters going on. The hell is this?
Oh, man. Okay. All right, Figgy, appreciate that. Dropping the knowledge there. They found out Charles Barkley years ago, like the first year that he and Kenny Smith and they brought the TNT guys into the college realm or whatever.
Yeah.
Are they TNT or TBS?
It's the same thing.
Same
it's
company.
Just Turner.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. So just Turner. The T stands for Turner in both.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same thing.
Okay. So you can't get it wrong. You can't screw that up.
No, you can't.
But you remember when people were like, Barkley doesn't know anything about college basketball. Well, did you expect him to? Like he spends every waking hour and I don't even know that he knows that much about NBA teams, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, do we even care about the NBA like
that's
that?
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, okay, so y'all clearly aren't following NBA on TNT or that show. Because their whole appeal is how it just goes off the rails. It's a bunch of shenanigans.
It's a variety show.
They say a bunch of generic stuff about basketball.
They break down the game like maybe 20% of the time, man.
Or don't let the game suck. Or be some teams don't let it be like Chicago and the Hornets or something ridiculous
They had one like that earlier this year. And Barkley
Portland
out.
And Sacramento. Yeah. Look, I don't
blame. Are we talking about this? It was a 35-point game. Oh, it was when Ernie they were like trying to switch coverages and they went from like a 30-point blowout to like an 18-point blowout. It was a Knicks game that they ended up settling on, I think.
Yeah,
and it was like, this is the best we can do tonight.
Those are the best nights, though, because it's like only Ernie is the one that's really trying to keep up with the facade of this is a actual sports show because he's a, kind of a serious journalist and everything, sports caster and all of that.
Yeah.
And Chuck and Shaq are just like,
he's been corrupted, though.
But the way he foils into it or the role that he plays in the whole shtick, I think is he's played into it. He knows his role in it. And it works perfectly for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Do you think, as we seamlessly pivot here, you talk about falling into things and maybe convincing yourself of things otherwise. Have you convinced yourself into the Texans, being pretty comfortable on the defensive line to this point?
Comfortable? They seem comfortable. So, because this could be two different questions. Do I think that they're comfortable? Yes. Am I entirely comfortable? I'm a little bit uneasy.
Yeah,
about
I want to know about them. Like, do you think they're good?
I think they're comfortable. I think that they're comfortable, and we talk about this on this show quite a bit too, on In the Loop. It's like there's a level of trust in D'Amico Ryans and by proxy Nick Caserio, since that's who he's working with. I think the both of them have, based on last year, built up some equity and trust to where even if you can look at it in side eye and say, man, I'm not exactly sure who's going to be their starting defensive tackle, there is a space of, hey, well, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans is not going to have a defensive tackle-less squad. Or, you know, this team, you know, with a defensive-minded head coach that tells you how much he cares about the defensive front, is going to take it seriously. Now, and you and I have talked about this, do I have a whole bunch of confidence in Foley Fatakasi or Tim Settle or D'Anico Autry as a hybrid inside-outside guy? That's probably what I have the most confidence in is D'Anico Autry, because I've seen him play inside and outside through the course of his career playing within a division.
Dude, yeah.
But as a full-time plan, I'm a little bit uneasy about it, but I'm starting to lean toward, okay, they'll figure it out. They got elite edge rushers. You know, it won't be as bad as maybe I thought it would be. It still doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I don't think that guy exists right now. You know, I could envision like Fatakasi filling a void between Rankins and Collins. But whoever that other guy is that he's going to be playing next to, I don't think that guy exists on the roster yet.
Let me ask you this. As somebody that was in the locker room and covered the team as closely as anybody last year, which we both did, what about Khalil Davis? Does Khalil Davis get a – here's a question. Does Khalil Davis get a Blake Cashman-like bump this year?
Man, you talk about a little tease right there.
Mm.
That's a good question.
I just thought about it off the top of my head.
Well, that's what we do here.
Yeah,
just kind of roll with stuff.
Well, we didn't know we were even doing a show until 3 hours ago.
No, but I like it. That is a good question. I want to think about that. I want you to think about that.
Yes.
We want to hear from you, 713-572-4610. You could call, you could text. Phone lines are open on this show between Bajani and B. Scott, so you can hit us up that way. Twitch, YouTube chats, that's open. On Twitter as well, at Sean Bajani, at Brandon K. Scott on Twitter. Coming up next, we'll answer that question. Is a guy like Khalil Davis in line for a Blake Cashman-esque bump? And I want to know this. A dude the Texans were linked to literally day one of free agency is still available. Should they go out and grab that guy now? That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
Here we go, Sean Bajani and B. Scott. It's official now. You're in the loop. Here we go. Let's get this thing started.
That's
We're here, 10 to 2, Sports Radio 610. And to your surprise, a few texters texting in. Holy crap, the sun's out and 610's taking callers. Holy bleep. Yep, that's how I roll, man. Hit us up, 713-572-4610. Call Figgy. He'll determine whether or not you're good enough to be put on. Whether or not you think I'm good enough to be on, well, doesn't matter. I'm here. You got to live with it until 2 o'clock today. So, glad to be here with you, B. Scott, Twitch, YouTube, up and running. Appreciate all of you guys checking us out on those platforms. Twitter as well is a place you can hit us up, ask a question, give a take, all that good stuff. At Brandon K. Scott, at Sean Bajani. So you ask a really good question at the end of the first segment. Could Khalil Davis be the Blake Cashman, so to speak, of the defensive line this year for the Houston Texans? I think it's a really, really good question. I think it's a great conversation to have, but not just about Khalil Davis. You have to include guys like Foley Fatakasi, like Tim Settle, like Mario Edwards Jr., who the Texans just signed. And, you know, Kurt Heinisch is still on this football team right now. My man Heine,
yep,
flashed a little bit last year. Yep. Ain't got a problem with it.
Flash as a rookie before that. Displaced. That was Roy Lopez last year where he displaced him, right?
Yeah. And,
yeah. But still, yeah, I mean, had a good year.
Lopez latched on with somebody, I feel
like. Yeah, the his hometown team.
That's right.
Arizona Cardinals.
That's right.
Yep.
And so I'm looking at these three guys particularly with Khalil Davis as a fourth, right? And Foley Fatakasi is the only one amongst them that you could say is a starting level defensive tackle in the NFL, at least as far as his track record's concerned. You know, Tim Settle has started here and there a little bit. Mario Edwards, few and far between. He's an 8-9 year veteran, rotational player, but the most appealing thing about him is you do look at the back of the football card with a guy like Mario Edwards and you say, damn, no matter what role this guy's been in, whatever team, he's produced. You know, he's good for a couple of three sacks, you know, some TFLs, some QB hits every year with a squad. Like, he's clearly an impact player, true pro, right? Does D'Amico Ryans think he's automatically going to become a quote-unquote starter in his 9th or 10th year in the NFL? I would typically say that's not how this thing goes in the league. But maybe the not-so-typical way is how we need to kind of condition our minds as to think what D'Amico Ryans envisions in year two under his defense. I don't know what he did in San Francisco because, kind of like we were talking, B. Scott, I'm not going to pretend like I watched every 49ers game. In fact, I try not to watch 49ers games for one reason and one reason alone, and that's because my brother-in-law is a San Francisco 49er fan, and I despise him for that because he's never once been to the city of San Francisco aside from a tourist, and he grew up as a fan of them because, well, like, as you know, when you're kids, you latch on to teams. Like, I used to be a Yankee guy, and then I saw the light. He has not seen the light. He's a 49er guy.
Was it a bandwagon thing?
Yeah, it's like a bandwagon thing. Yeah. Oh, you know, Steve Young.
Yeah. The Deion Sanders year.
Terrell Owens. Yeah. You know, all that. It's like, come on, bro. Get out of here. He's a Brave fan, so I despise him for that. I try not to watch Braves games for that reason alone.
Oh, so wait. He's just a 90s front runner.
He is a 90s front runner.
Yeah,
yes.
He likes the teams
Braves,
that were good in the
Sacramento
early
90s. Sacramento Kings and in the San Francisco 49ers. And that's it. He's a Florida Gator fan. there you go. He's all over the damn map. So love you, Jay. But I mean, come on, let's go. I gotta figure that out. Figure that one out and help you onto the other side.
I wish Houston Sports had given him. I don't know what the Rockets ever did to him, or if it's, you know, the fact that the Oilers were so pitiful in the early to mid 90s. But I wish Houston Sports had given him more to latch on to.
Well, I mean,
clearly
they've given us enough. Yeah. You know, they've given us enough. over the years. You got to ride or die. And for H-Towners, that's what we do. But I say all that to say this, that is it beyond us to believe that D'Amico Ryans sees an opportunity here as to not necessarily worry about who's starting games, but to be as deep as you possibly can at a position group which benefits fresh, effective, disruptive bodies? Are we looking and focusing at the starter title a little bit too much?
Yeah, so I don't know if we're looking and focusing too much on the starter title as much as we are trying to nail down who the best bodies are. And I think you kind of laid it out there with Foley Fadakasi and Tim Settle and just what all of their experience is. I led into this with the question about Khalil Davis, somebody that started off on the practice squad last year with the Texans and ended up playing quite a bit for him, had a couple of sacks for him, started the game. But I think what we're really trying to figure out here is exactly what D'Amico Ryans' vision is, because, like, for me, and I know the guys who regularly do this show kind of shrug their shoulders at the Malik Collins trade, but to me, it was less about, hey, Malik Collins. But for me, it's less about, like, hey, Malik Collins is just this irreplaceable player as much as it is, hey, they're going clearly in a different direction. They clearly soured on a player that had played a lot for them in previous years, that they had paid money the summer before, the offseason before. Mm-hmm. And D'Amico Ryans, in whatever way, is trying to reimagine exactly what this defensive line is going to look like. And so that's why I bring up a question about a Khalil Davis, somebody who, again, was on the practice squad but ended up playing quite a bit for him eventually. Now, that could have been more about attrition or whatever it was. But that was somebody that I thought – we're taking note of even in training camp. That was even getting some questions asked about him. Or maybe I'm thinking preseason. But before he sort of emerged, there were questions about, hey, what do you think Khalil Davis's role could be on this team? And so I'm trying to figure out exactly what direction D'Amico Ryans is going in. But he clearly sees something in these guys and this group of guys that he has right now that I don't feel like the league has necessarily seen in them, at least in terms of how they fit into what he wants.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I feel like he's maybe pivoted to that. I think he'd settle on it because it was clear they wanted Eric Armstead. It was clear they wanted to bring Sheldon Rankins back. Otherwise, yeah. You don't make an offer to Rankins. You don't try to trade for Eric Armstead. And you swung and missed on both of those. And you beef up that position group by going out and getting guys like Mario Edwards, going out and getting guys like Tim Settle, both of which I think came after the fact. Even Foley did as well.
It seems like he would have preferred – this is my first time thinking about it like this. It is clear, actually, based off of what has happened between them trying to get back Sheldon Rankins and them trading Malik Collins for a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
It is clear that they would have preferred – D'Amico Ryan specifically, I think, would have preferred – if Sheldon Rankins had been the guy that was still under contract and Malik Collins had been the free agent.
100%. Well,
because they clearly would have just let Malik go.
I don't want to put words into Nick Caserio's mouth, but you got a hell of a lot better memory than I do on this stuff. Nick Caserio was on earlier this week with Payne and Pendergast, Monday morning, 7:30. And correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you can remember, but I seem to remember hearing Nick Caserio say that the Texans had maybe had conversations. I don't want to, because he didn't say it that way, but maybe he knew there was interest in Malik Collins from other teams last year.
Right.
And they decided then that he was going to be more of a part of a guy that could help them win football games last year.
Yeah.
To me, I think if anything's clear, that the Texans believed that it would behoove them more, benefit them more, to save money on the cap this year than it would be for Malik Collins to help them win football games again this season. Because you traded Malik Collins for a seventh round pick. You initially tried to trade for Eric Armstead with him, but maybe you determined, okay, the money's not going to work. This right. guy wants $17 million per in San Francisco. He's going to want that anywhere, and we just can't make it work for what we want to do.
And then you signed Danielle Hunter, too.
Yeah, then you signed Danielle Hunter, and that foiled the whole thing with the money
right.
situation. And God forbid, like, man, I don't know, Eric Armstead, Danielle Hunter, who knows?
Yeah.
Here's where I'm at on it, though. I went and spent way too much time on looking at every defensive tackle that has ever been traded over the course of the last four off seasons, what that team got in return for it.
Yeah.
It's happened twice over the last four off seasons in which a defensive tackle has been traded. Every single time they've gone for a seventh round pick. Every single time we're talking about guys with big contracts like Malik Collins. In this case, he was $8.5 million. $16 million cap hit.
Yeah.
You do that move because you're trying to save money on the cap for another move. It might be to fill that position. It might not be to fill that position. It might be because you already think that guy exists on your roster. I just said last segment, I don't think that guy to play alongside Foley or Settle or Mario or Khalil or Kurt is on this roster yet. I think there is a strong possibility that the Texans either try to maybe make a move up in the first round, or they get a guy to fall to them in and around that 42. Maybe they still have to move up, but I think that guy exists in the draft.
Yeah, I've got this lasting image of Rod Wright, the defensive line coach for the Texans, who was a defensive lineman for the University of Texas back when they won the national championship. Rod Wright also coached at Sam Houston State when I was there toward the end. But that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting there or standing there at the Pro Day, at the Texas Pro Day a few days ago, just chopping it up with Tavondre Sweat. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder if that is the precursor. Because for me, I don't have an issue with the compensation that you got from Malik Collins. My issue is, where is the reliability, the production, the guy that you're going to put in the middle? You created a hole that didn't exist. How are you going to fill it? And I still haven't been able to answer that question just yet.
We'll figure it out. We got till 2 o'clock, B. Scott. 713-572-4610. You can get in, call, text. Coming up next, it's time to localize it. And, this is a pretty easy one. Maybe some finality to the Texans' ownership change. That's next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Alongside B. Scott, Sean Bajani, in for Landry Locker, John Lopez. You're in the loop. Figgy Fig here as well. 713-572-4610. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call or text. We'll get to some of your reaction here just momentarily. But, easy way to localize it today, because I didn't know this was going to be a thing, B. Scott. I don't know if this is something that has spawned just because of the recent drama that has been nixed within the McNair family, and something that we've been talking about periodically over the course of the last year, and that is the brother of Texans CEO, chairman of the Houston Texans, Cal McNair, Kerry McNair, recently dropped a guardianship lawsuit. Know a lot of the loyal listeners are familiar with that. If you're not too in tune, brother was trying to take guardianship over Janice McNair because of, as he had put it at the time, you know, her failing health and not having the ability anymore to operate on the day in and day out responsibilities, obligations for the Houston Texans. Well, that's gone away. Is this story, B. Scott, in direct correlation to that? As in, would this not have happened if that hadn't have happened.
Yeah, so I don't know which one is the chicken or the egg, but I would say it. I would reverse it more than likely. Like, I think that this is perhaps Kerry McNair, the older brother, mm-hmm. and the lesser known brother, yep. Kerry McNair, had some level of knowledge or awareness that this vote was going to come up at some point. Like, I wonder how much of it was specifically really about Janice's health and how much of it was about the potential for Cal to become the principal on
trying to weasel his way in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get in and make it happen to where maybe he would become principal owner one day.
Or at the very least, and I want to be careful how I word this, but maybe at the very least that Cal would not.
Yeah. Maybe you know, so.
And without getting too personal within the personal family dynamics of how it works with the McNairs, and I'm not pretending like I know it all either, but safe to say that these two brothers are not exactly chummy.
No.
You know, not exactly chummy. And so I think that was now which one comes first? Is it Kerry McNair trying to preempt Cal McNair becoming the principal owner? Or is this in response to, hey, there's another family member here who's going to try to take over this franchise who we don't know?
Yeah.
And we'd rather the guy that we do know, Cal, who's been around for forever.
Yeah.
You know, do we want to do it like that?
Trying to do that and maybe position himself, if you're Kerry, to maybe sell the team.
Yeah.
And so, stuff like that. So if you're not familiar.
Which one of those it is, I'm not sure, but one of those, I should say both of those are plausible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The news today is that league owners are going to be voting on Tuesday, next Tuesday, on whether or not to approve Texans chairman and CEO Cal McNair as the franchise's new principal owner at the NFL owners meetings. That will take place next week. Tuesday morning, they're expected to vote. So, didn't know that was a thing until today. I'm actually excited about this with some finality. We all call Cal McNair the owner. I never call him CEO and chairman. I mean, you see him, he's operating and acting and is visible as if he is the owner on paper. But now he officially will be if, in fact, this vote does pass on Tuesday.
Well, let's be honest. Most of the loopholes in the 610 listeners call Hannah the owner.
Yeah.
Which is the way this is going to work out, you know, or the way this has
worked out. She's really pulling the strings.
Look, Cal's a nice guy.
That's fair.
Cal's a nice guy. Hannah, the best thing that he's ever come up with.
Hannah's maybe the best thing that the city of Houston has been able to come up with, given the dark ages that we all just went through together over the course of the last 3+ years. Prior to last season, of course.
Texas specifically related, because, I mean, Houston does have, you know, Beyonce. So,
come on.
I'm just saying. You said the best thing we ever came up with.
Yeah.
You just lost a listener.
My goodness. Get out of here. No, I saw that. I said that because I saw this. Article. Here's a quote from an ESPN article. His wife, Janice McNair, became the Texans' principal owner and is one of 10 women who are principal owners. And we started looking through a list. I'm like, damn, 10 women are principal owners in the NFL? I could think of two. And one I was like, oh, yeah, Amy Adams Strunk in the division with the Titans.
We forgot all about her.
Who was the first one that I thought of? I can't even remember now. It was the
you asked about
Ford.
The Vikings.
Ford lady.
The Ford. Yeah, the Fords. Yeah. Sheila Ford.
Yeah. Yep. That was the only one. I mean, that was the first one I could think of. And yes, all that to say, Hannah, we came around to the fact that, yeah, you know, there's some co-owners like the Haslams, you know. Well, that doesn't count as like being a women principal owner. And then you were like, well, depends on who's wearing the pants. And I was like, yeah, that kind of sounds applicable here.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
there. I don't care what you call it. It's going to happen, hopefully, on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, for me, it's just like a, I don't want to say full circle moment, but it is something interesting to observe how far they've come. And to your point about Cal McNair really sort of feeling like the owner, I've kind of looked at it that way too. You look at it, his early part of his CEO-ship or chairmanship, you know, it took, after his father first passes, everything that they went through with Bill, Jack, and just the turmoil, the obviously Deshaun, the organization kind of going in the tank for a minute there,
yeah,
and to kind of come out of it, and all they really needed to do was hit on the two most important positions on a football team. And we understand how important the CEO, ownership, and general manager are as well. But the head coach and the quarterback.
Yeah.
Notice how everything changed. We're even getting the text now, 713-572-4610 on the text line. We're seeing folks talk about new ownership, and the McNairs have gotten a lot of criticism over the years. But look at it now. They got D'Amico Ryans. They got C.J. Stroud. And to me, everything is up. Mm-hmm. Everything is up from there. It just goes to show you how those two positions can save you from yourself to a large degree. That's the way I look at it. Things have turned around greatly mm-hmm. since the beginning of this little chairmanship, since Cal's father died.
Yeah.
Since Bob McNair passed.
713-572-4610. Let's localize it with you. Let's talk to Wood. You're on In the Loop, Wood. What's happening, my man?
Fellas, how y'all doing? I heard the last segment y'all were talking about we could possibly move up in the first round. I want to say, man, Nick Caserio, I got to choose the words carefully. He upset me to the highest degree when he gave away our first round pick. Because the thing is, you're going to have quarterbacks go off the board, baby. Three quarterbacks, you're going to have offensive tackles, receivers go off, edge rushers go off. So in that 20th pick, we're going to have a premium defensive tackle or cornerback that we could have picked up right there, where it would have fit perfect with D'Amico Ryan's team. Now, he's the smartest agent out there.
Yo, where's
they think
where's
they so
Wood at?
Smart.
Where you at, Wood? Where you calling us from, man?
I'm a truck driver here, and I'm moving mail around the city here, you know, and everything. So excuse me for the little noise in the background. Like I say, Nick Caserio, and like I say, like a car salesman, the problem.
Hey, Wood.
All right, we gotta let you go, man.
I gotta let
the service kind of spot.
Yeah, you were in and out, but I would venture to guess, like all of you probably would, that he's not happy that the Texans moved out of the first round because of the various needs, the holes they have to fill.
Yeah.
And look, I don't like how they got where they're at, but I've kind of come back to feeling okay about where they're at because of some other moves that they've made. I want to talk about that, and I think Wood started to get to it. I heard him mention cornerback there. It's something that I wanted to talk about this morning, and I kind of teased it earlier. We'll get to it next. A dude the Texans were linked to since day one and has been endorsed by a current Houston Texan or two, I think they should go out and grab right now. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!